Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick. We are in the car and oil is in the driver's seat. Oil is driving this market higher. We'll talk about that. We just got new headlines a couple minutes ago, as you can see Dennis get up from his desk here, because the market has just started moving like crazy just a few moments ago, as Russia apparently agreed to some production cuts contingent on the U.S. and the Saudis doing the same. So we'll talk about oil, the move it made, and the impact it's having on the rest of the market. Elsewhere in the market, we have news from Tesla. They delivered their reported auto sales yesterday, and Trump has 3M in his sights. This morning, our guest will be Jason Raznick, the founder of our company, at 8:45. We have a special segment planned with him. Joel, I will unmute you here. Tell us what's the word here overnight.
Well, we got some nice action here, both overnight and in the just recently here. Pre-market high, we got a great area to talk about on the upside, folks. Yesterday's high, 25.25. Your high from yesterday, 25.25. And your current high at 25.65. And that happened to be last Friday's close. So basically, we've gone nowhere this week. Crude just got a pop for the third time on the same headline. Popped to 27.20, but came up shy of that high from yesterday at 27.38. Gold hanging in there up 230. Had a little dip, but rebounding, trying to take out that 16.50 area. Major resistance at 1700. Silver joining the rally today, up 0.6 of a cent at 14.66. Bitcoin back over 7,000, up $165. It's 7,025. Spencer, we're going to make it through another week here.
We are. Dennis, I think, will be with us.
I'm here. You just got to start my video. We're just chopping around, so I had to quickly get hedged up.
That's understandable. Okay. Things were all calm at 7:55.
No, I know. And then I just like threw down my headset and I was like, we're popping. We popped about 20 handles there in about 2 minutes. So I'm not sure if there was a headline. When you're in the trade cave, you can't even be looking for headlines there. But we had a huge pop. Obviously, we're down significantly overnight. We've come back all the way. What was the low here? How far were we down, Joel? Because
we went to 24.74 and a quarter. And that was just
what is that in English? Because how far? Because like I said, I don't pay for S&P futures quotes.
Oh, Dennis, don't quit saying that. I'm going to start paying for the
I know, because I'm still – I'm going to keep saying it, because they want to charge me $700 a month for them.
I'm going to start paying it so you don't have to say
that. So SPY is what matters to me. Okay, but just say how far we were down. You don't have to say the numbers. Just tell us where we're down. I saw us down 40 handles.
45 handles down.
45 at the most. Okay.
Yep. And the SPY was closed, so that I think the SPY was closed.
Yeah, it was at that time. But I saw us down 40 handles, so I can get, you know, you can still get quotes free online. But like I said, when I'm trading after 4 o'clock, I'm looking at the SPY. Because I don't have to adjust for fair value. The only day that screws me up is the dividend day on the SPY.
And they do that on the quad witch too.
I know, it messes you right up.
Really messes people up. But
oh yeah.
How many times are we gonna rally on this oil headline? How many times?
Well, I mean, it's big up again. You know, we got oil up significantly here again. So it's the driver. So you have basically there's two main things pushing the market around. Oil prices and COVID. And oil tried to drive the market higher yesterday. Other things being equal, if COVID wasn't around, you would have seen the market just ripping with oil up as much as, what were we up, like 25% yesterday at one time? How much were we up? 28? We're up a lot at one time on oil. I was up to 27.
Oh, yeah. On a percentage basis, yeah. Because the high was basically at 27. We are knocking on the door yesterday's high.
Where are we right now?
27 even.
So this is very good news for the market. You know, people say, oh, why is oil prices good news for the market? Because there's so many oil companies that are in trouble here. So it's good news that, hey, higher oil prices help a little bit. So like I said, other things being equal, you would have seen the S&P up even a lot more yesterday than they were, but you still have the COVID pressures keeping it down. So what we have is a classic battle. We are in a battle zone, a significant battle zone between the bulls and the bears. And the top, you know what you were saying, the roof of this thing is around 262 SPY.
Yep.
You've had 1 to 263, call, you know, 262, 263. And then we put in a double bottom yesterday on the SPY at 243.90 and 244.59. So basically you got this range from 263 to 244. We are in the range. So obviously the bull case is oil's coming around. We're going to eventually get some type of therapy that helps with this thing. And we're not going to be on lockdown for more than a couple of months. That's the bull thesis. The bear thesis is oil companies are still in significant trouble, even with the rally, which is probably true. We're not getting any therapy that's coming that's going to help anytime soon. And we're probably going to be in lockdown for 6 months or greater. That's the bear thesis. So I don't know who's right. Nobody knows who's right. So we're going to sit and we're going to have to just keep analyzing it, you know, on a daily basis as more information comes in. With that being said, I'm leaning to the bear side still because I'm still sitting with a ton of cash. I owned a few stocks. I nibbled a few stocks that I felt would hold up better, but I'm still not confident enough to say, you know, I like the little double bottom we put in yesterday. That is really good news. I don't like the fact that we are not near the apex here yet. I don't like the fact that there's going to be a lot more people that die. And I think we're still in the early innings of COVID, and that makes me scared to be a full investor here.
I don't think you could have put it any better than that, Dennis. Really, I really don't think you could have. I'm looking a little bit difference here because I'm trying to do the correlation on the data here because for you just super SPY followers, and it's really not coming out the way I wanted because the SPY closed last week at 53.42 and then the high yesterday was 51.44. Doesn't have the same correlation, so I'm going to stick with the S&Ps on this. Last Friday's close was 25.24. Your high from yesterday was 25.25. Your current high is 25.26.75. We've gone nowhere this week. If you really look at it in all reality, we were up higher, we were up lower. The market is still undecided, and the volatility has come down. So what I want, you know, like I said yesterday, I'm trying to look at it, you know, from just a technical perspective, love to see us close above 25.25 today. I mean, just, you know, we held it. That would mean we held in there for the week. We added on some gains. I just think we're calming down. And I think we're just trying to die. We have calmed down, which is good.
Really good. That's really good news. I mean, not as a trader, I like the volatility, but as an investor, VIX 50 feels a lot better than VIX 80 as an investor, you know, and these prices chopping around and, you know, seeing every stock move over 10% a day. I mean, at one point in time, and, you know, it's funny, you know, you got Cooperman calling for the uptick rule, and you've got, you know, we've talked about this on the show, and you've had Cramer calling for the uptick rule, and what they don't understand or what they haven't, you know, stopped to read is that we have an uptick rule. They put the alternative uptick rule back in 2010. When a stock falls more than 10% a day, or more than 10% in a day, that stock is then under short sell restrictions for that day and the following day. And what that means is the uptick rule is then reinstated, and it's actually more stringent than the original rule because you cannot hit any bid to get short, even if the bid is an uptick. So you have to get short above the bid. So it actually makes it very difficult to get short. So that takes care of all these bear raid problems that, you know, that they were talking about. The alternative uptick rule is working very well. Personally, I don't think it's necessary because I never believed it was bear raids that caused the financial crisis anyways. It was, you know, the fact that we loaned money to people who couldn't pay the bills on their mortgage. I mean, you know, it was the fact, you know, of all these structured products, you know, that caused the financial crisis. Housing caused the financial crisis. A housing bubble burst caused the financial crisis. It wasn't short sellers. In the same situation here where you got people calling, oh, it's short sellers driving down the market. No, we have a deadly virus that is driving down the market. It is not short sellers. Short sellers make the market more efficient. But the people who are calling for the uptick rule, please go and read 2010, read the SEC rule. The rule, I've heard it's not as stringent. It is more stringent. I trade. I make markets. I'm in there. It's almost impossible to get short these stocks when, you know, they've moved over 10% one day. So what I wanted to say was, when you actually have, you know, every stock moving more than 10%, in one case, the SPY was under short sell restrictions because it had moved more than 10%. It's, you know, it's very difficult to even, you know, trade as, you know, a market maker, and that makes the markets less efficient. So anyways, that's my rant.
That's all right. I just want to add.
It's nice that stocks aren't under short sell restrictions here now, so that you can get hedged and you can do your own trading. Like, anybody who trades market neutral needs to short stocks. I trade market neutral.
And just for people that don't know, besides being a CFA and excellent trader, okay investor, Dennis is a market structure expert. When did you, after the flash crash that you predicted, when did you you testified in front of the SEC, right?
I've been to the SEC four times. One was televised. You can go to 2016 and Google me. You can read my testimony. And I talked about off-exchange market making, which, you know, we don't want to get into a whole market structure thing here.
No.
But, you know, that's where when you're looking at stuff that makes the market, I believe, less efficient is the off-exchange market making. And I felt like that they should look at that more closely with more scrutiny. So I talked about a lot of things. I've covered lots of different things. But this call for the uptick rule is very uninformed by the people who are calling for it. It is simply uninformed. They reinstated it. So we took it out history lesson. Took it out, I believe it was 2006 or 2007. Then the financial crisis happened. Everybody called for the uptick rule. So the SEC reinstated an alternative uptick rule, which was actually more stringent than the original rule. Meaning, again, if a stock is bid at like $25, and even if the last tick was $24.99 and now it's bid $25, that's an uptick. Before 2006, you would be able to hit that bid to get short. You cannot hit that bid. You have to be on the offer at $25.01. You can only be on the offer to get short, regardless of whether the bid is an uptick or not. So it is way more strict, and there's no workarounds. I mean, you see stocks sometimes, you know, just sitting there after hours for the entire session. And somebody asked me, does it cover after hours? Yes, it covers pre-market after hours. You see them sit there for the entire session, and nobody in the whole world, because you don't have a natural seller in there, it sits there like the market. I've seen tank 30 handles, and you have like a stock that's fairly traded, just sitting there flat, but you can't short it because it's not, you don't have the tick. You have to get lifted to get short. So no natural seller in the whole after hours came to sell this thing. It's sitting there literally free money, basically, if you were selling the stock, but nobody can hit it. It just sits there inefficient. And somebody lifts the offer then, they're buying at too high of a price because the price would never be there. If it was for short sellers, it would be back down to where it's supposed to be priced. You see this all the time, continuously right now on stocks that are under the uptick rule. So, you know, so that's my rant. I mean, people
okay. And I just want to finish up. I just want to finish up before we, before we get to the individual issues. I mean, I think the performance of the market has not been good, but I think the market's held up really well.
The structure itself. Yeah.
There
has been a flash crash. Really.
Yeah. This is an orderly. I mean, I've seen, you know, it's crazy. And there's wild movement, but I mean, it hasn't gotten to the point where I'm like, where is the market? Like, I don't know what platforms people have. I've never had any problems with the platforms. I've always been able to see quotes. I've gotten executions on my stops at the same price. I mean, the market's a champ. I mean,
it's done very well. I will say the one area where we could use improvement is on these circuit breakers. Because bring up Luck and Coffee, and this is a great segue into LK's trading action yesterday.
Okay, let's go to that one.
That was just absolutely ridiculous. It would trade, and then would hit limit up, and they would halt it for 5 minutes. And then they would halt it for 10 minutes. And then they would halt it again. And then they would halt it again. It opened up near the lows yesterday at $4 and I think it was like $4.90. We know it traded lower than that in the pre-market. The circuit breakers are not, they do not, those do not apply in the pre-market. So like the alternative uptick rule applies through all sessions, pre-market, regular session, after hours. The circuit breakers do not apply, except, you know, on the E-mini, but they don't apply to the stocks. So when you see these big movements, the stock can just trade freely. We know it traded freely down to $4. Then it opens. Now it's going to be under circuit breakers. So here it is. It's traded for the last hour and a half in the pre-market very efficiently. And now we got to put circuit breakers on all of a sudden. So it opens up at 490, runs, you know, up 10% or whatever it is, and halts. Then it runs up another 10%, like literally in 5 seconds, and halts for another 5 or 10 minutes or whatever it is. And then, you know, it goes up another 10% and halts again. It did this 5 times on the way up till it finally gets to 1040. And then they decided, no, we're going to pull the rug out from underneath this thing. So it goes 1040, then it goes down to 950, falls to 10%. Oh, it's limit down. Halts for, you know, halts again. Then it goes down, you know, another 10%, and then it does it again. And then it goes down another 10%, and then the circuit breakers trip it again. It was literally trading for 5 to 10 seconds and then halting. You know, it'd go limit up, and then it has to set a limit up for 15 seconds or whatever it is, and then they halt. So all it was impeding price discovery to an extreme level, making investors nervous. You're getting all these little reopens here. Just ridiculous. So what they need to do is, in the event of news, regulators, if you're listening, in the event of news, we need to figure out how to widen the circuit breaker so natural price discovery can occur. It is impeding price discovery to an extreme level on Luck and Coffee. And Wayne Dugan, if you're listening, I know you sometimes write up stuff I say on the show. This would be a good piece for you on the circuit breakers. You can also talk to Jim Angel. I think he would argue the same thing. Professor Jim Angel from Georgetown. We've had him on the show. Fantastic market structure expert there. And I know Jim well. This is an issue. He's pointed out as an issue. It's an issue that it's fine for, you know, when you just have, you know, random moves and you want to cool the market off. But when you have a news event, to continue to impede price discovery by having these circuit breakers is just making everyone else nervous. They don't know what's happening. I better buy it quick because it's going to hit the next limit up. I better buy it quick because it's going to hit the next limit up. And then they pull it right. I better sell it quick. It's going to go limit down. I mean, it's just, you know, impeding, you know, the natural price discovery. I mean, that's why these ridiculous moves almost were occurring in LK right off the hop, because so many people were just like, oh, I'm going to buy it here because it's going to go limit up and that's going to gap up another buck.
I know.
It was just craziness.
Yeah, and the one thing I just want to point out about that, I mean, technically it's a mess, but you hit like 3 and change in the pre-market. I can't remember what it was, but then you went to 490 and you opened up right at 490 and then boom, you know, the buy, you know, people tried to, you know, lock in profits.
It probably opened too low.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it. We, you know, we tossed our time out at 9 and 8, and I was like, don't, you know, call it. And full disclosure, I actually do. I took a little flyer here. I have a level, obviously, now, the 490 level. I took a little flyer here, just speculative, like literally like 1/10 of my normal size of a position. So small. But I took a little flyer here, so I bought a little bit of LK just for a flyer, more of a, you know, a short-term trade, not an investment. Short-term trade. And just wondering, you know, if we could get a little bit of life here again. We'll see. I might get stopped out on it today. I was kind of looking at yesterday's low as my stop-out point. It's popping up a little bit here. So
what about
I do have a very, very small position in LK.
What about
just for fun, like gambling money. Gambling money.
Dennis, back in your cage.
I know. I watched it so much, I couldn't help but trade it a bit.
What was I going to ask you? What about Peloton? You still in Peloton?
I am in Peloton. And yes, Rosenblatt gave it some love here this morning. So Spencer, we haven't brought you on very much here yet. Maybe you can come on and tell
Spencer
us what
who?
Rosenblatt was saying, because they initiated with a buy and they were basically giving – I just kind of took a quick look and they were kind of arguing the same things we were arguing on the show. Maybe Rosenblatt listens to the show.
They initiated with a buy and gave it a $42 price target.
But the reasoning behind it – do you have the note?
No, I just had, no, I don't have the note in front
of
me.
Let me just go and try to just give you a couple of just highlights here. Oh,
for me, getting notes requires digging through.
Yeah, I know. More, and I've thrown you under the bus here. So
Spencer,
but they were basically saying this was the stay at home. Like, you know, this is a play on the stay at home economy.
Yeah, Joel.
What's your new sign today?
Courtesy of Dion H, actually, I didn't come up with this myself, but, Dion H said yesterday we should trade by day and pray by night. So that's what I'm doing here.
Okay, so he sees the company being attractive. So this is the analyst from Rosenblatt. Sees the company being attractively positioned for disrupting the fitness industry with a business model that benefits from economies of scale and early mover advantage. She also thinks Peloton should be a beneficiary from COVID-19 as the gyms are closed. In the short term, gyms are closed, and over the medium term, as consumers' preferences shift towards working out at
home. That's what you've been saying.
That's what we've been saying. So, hey, and who is the analyst? Let's just get his name. Bernie McTernan. Maybe Bernie listens to Pre-Market Prep. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while. It is the reason that I have been long Peloton for a week, because I also believe the same things that eventually, I believe this is a COVID play. So, you know, it's lifted a bit. I bought a 25. I'm up a little bit in it. Trying to hold on to it here. I'd love it to start to get up and get some life over 30. And I think if it got media coverage as a COVID play, could. But, you know, it hasn't happened yet. I think it's don't you think it's a COVID play?
Yeah, I mean, someone made a, you know, it might be a little expensive for unemployed Americans, which is true.
Good point.
Yeah, but
I heard there's a waiting list to get these things now, though.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think.
Somebody was saying that.
Maybe
but you used to be able to get them fairly quickly, and somebody, I believe it was in our chat, was saying they tried to order one, and it's like over a month now.
Oh, really? Well, yeah.
But maybe that's more to do with, obviously, half America being shut down, so maybe they can't make them. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. But yesterday, everyone in the house used it. Well, not in the house. Emily's not here living in the house. But Lisa and I used it, and Emily used it too. So I don't know. And also, I don't know how much people pay for gym memberships and whatnot. But they would not let you pay like the $3,000 up front. They bake it into the to the payment plan, and then you keep the subscription rate. And the other thing too, it's you know, there's arms, there's yoga, there's stretching. You know what? I should call Peloton. We're like a billboard. We're like a free
advertise for Peloton.
I know.
On this show.
We're done. We're done.
They should
no
be
more
paying
free
us for all this free publicity.
Okay, well then let's move on to a different stock here. Let's move on to Tesla. Let's move on to Tesla. They had auto sales out yesterday, and they were good, probably because they kept their factories open longer than most people did. But auto sales for the first quarter, they delivered approximately 88,400 vehicles last quarter. 76,000 of those were the Model 3. It's nothing new there. The estimate was down to 79,000, so they actually came in higher than what most people thought they would. And it's a nice year-over-year increase, too. They delivered 63,000 cars in Q1 of last year. So 88,000 this year normally would have been good, and especially good in light of this COVID madness. So they came in, I don't know if they came in below a single estimate. I think they were pretty much above everybody's estimates for their deliveries. So a strong Q1 for Tesla in terms of cars delivered.
Good numbers. I mean, going forward, who knows? Because obviously, it's difficult to think of people going and spending $50,000 or $60,000 or $80,000 on a car. But one advantage that Tesla does have over the rest of the automakers is typically you go to your dealership, you drive the car, you look around. For Ford, GM, Chrysler, you typically go to the dealership and buy the car. Tesla's different. A lot of these orders are just online. That people are just ordering them. So their flow is easier in that case, because obviously they don't have a lot of dealerships. I mean, they've closed, that some of their showrooms even here. I know there was one in Oakville, which is outside Toronto. I'm not sure if they have physical Teslas on the lot anymore, but they're kind of moving away from that. It's almost all online, which helps. So they are positioned better for an economy that is closed because everybody's doing their shopping online. With that being said, and I don't want to take all your arguments, Joel. We'll get your thoughts in a second.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I don't know. I just don't see a lot of people going and buying a brand new car right now.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, I'm so tempted to short this thing. I mean,
so it's hard,
I've never done well on really either side of Tesla.
Hard stock to trade.
Since I missed it when it broke out of 40. That was a long time ago. My bid is still there at 40. I mean, I'll give you – here's a super bull case scenario. You hit the all-time high, right, at $968.99, and then you dip to $396. So if you're a super bull and you're looking for a 50% retracement, then you're looking for $682.50. I don't know if it will ever get back to $682.50. If you look at this on a shorter term basis, you had a pre-market high of $547.99. It's imperative that it takes that out. If it did take that out, I don't know how enthusiastic I would get until it took out $560. Because you had a pair of highs at $557 and $560. So if anybody's attempting to short it and you get it gets over 560, then you could run to 607. But I just, to me, I think this is like a super gift for longs. I don't know what the economy is going to do. I don't know what people are going out for cars. I'm stunned that it's up this much on the news, but Tesla's done this a lot of other times.
I'm not sure how much it's worth reading into, but they still have not withdrawn their 500,000 car delivery guidance. That's a number that they gave at the start of the year, and that number is still on record as their guidance for this year to deliver 500,000 cars. So
wow, that's a lot of cars.
It's a lot of cars, especially when you consider that everything is shut down. So, but it's still on record. They haven't withdrawn the guidance yet. Okay. So we'll see. But okay. It was undoubtedly a great – those are great numbers for Tesla. And the market is reflecting that. You can't deny them that. It was a great quarter in terms of production and deliveries for Tesla. 827 here. We're about 3 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah, Dennis. Go
just
live,
before
Dan.
We change the Tesla subject, the intern here in the chat making a good point. With the price of gas dropping substantially, you know, we're looking at it under a potential buck a gallon.
That's a headwind.
Does that
for
make
sure.
Tesla purchases less attractive? Because this is
definitely
obviously the big, you know, marketing feature of the Tesla is, you know, the expense of gas and how much savings you have on gas. Obviously, those savings have now gone down substantially because gas prices are very low and probably going to be low for the foreseeable future. How does that play into this? I mean, maybe this
factor.
Is a question for Jason Raznick too.
Yeah,
Jason's
yeah,
gonna be on
it's there. It's a great point. It's definitely a headwind. Definitely a headwind as gas is
cheaper.
I mean,
the same thing with, you know, the solar stocks, which have been absolutely killed. And, you know, I've got egg on my face because I've been a big believer in solar. It worked for a long time. Obviously COVID's just destroyed everything. So you look at the solar stocks, you can bring up TAN and it's ugly too, but same thing. I mean, with oil prices as low as they are, alternative energy is now, you know, still expensive and maybe not quite as attractive. I know the eco people will still be arguing, you know, that, you know, we need solar, but, you know, from a just dollars capitalist perspective, you know, solar isn't as important when you've got oil prices as low as they are.
It's
both
a fact.
Of the alternative energy is getting hit because of lower oil prices as well.
All right. Well, I mean, this number that we're going to get in a minute and a half here won't mean anything, in my opinion. I'm not even honestly going to read you the numbers because they don't matter to me. This survey week.
830?
Yeah, this survey week is from the second week of March.
So what is this number?
This is the jobs number. But this
oh my
is the
goodness, it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Right. I was thinking it was Thursday. I'm losing track of days. I mean, when you're in your own house here, you know, you're not leaving. The days kind of like Groundhog Day. I play with my kids, and I go to bed. I mean, every day is the same. It's like Groundhog Day. I honestly, this morning I woke up and I thought it was Thursday. I just literally realized, so I cancel all my orders. I'm not gonna sit out there and get picked off. We are going to have some major movement here, so we got
I really don't think so. This
why
number,
did I think it was Thursday?
I don't know what goes
that
on
is, I've been doing
I was like
the
what
same
numbers
thing.
Coming out on Thursday morning
I
at 8:30.
Dennis, I don't know what day it is either. I look at the calendar. That's
Groundhog
it.
Day.
Okay. All right. Well, let's
seriously,
see what
yeah, like
here.
The weekends are even the same. Everything's the same. Well, the weekends aren't the same for me because I'm not trading, but I honestly thought it was Thursday. Okay, 10 seconds. I got to go. I got to trade.
All right. I think
I'm not ready for it.
I think you'll be back in 15 seconds, honestly, because this number, the survey week is from the second week of March. There will probably be an uptick. I think the estimate for unemployment is to rise to 3.8%, but these numbers will not reflect the last 2 weeks. I think they're almost meaningless here. Joe will watch the market. I'll watch the number. I think it's out right now, but
Yep. We did. We did a dip. We've done a slight dip here. Let me bring up this dip and dip.
All right.
And buy.
Okay. So
buy the dip.
So non-farm payroll job loss, 700,000 jobs loss versus 100,000 job loss forecast. I mean that's bigger than that's definitely more of an impact than I would have thought. So I guess that's worth something here. Unemployment, 4.4%. So unemployment and job number of jobs both worse than expected here. I guess the effects of the virus and the shutdown sort of took hold sooner than expected. Again, this does not even come close to reflecting the true damage out there. 10 million people filed for unemployment in the last 2 weeks. This number does not reflect that. So, Joel, what are you seeing here in the market?
Did we were at 2596 before the number. We had a slight dip to where were we at, let me pull up my data window. We were at 97.25 when we started that bracket. We went to 85.75 and we're back at 92.5. So we are basically within 3 or 4 points of where we were. So it's been a dip and a little bit of a dip and a comeback, but basically the same area we were at before.
Yeah. This number that, yeah, it's just a quirk of the way that the timing works in the survey week. So obviously the April number will be much more important. It will reflect, it'll be a closer reflection of the true damage that's going on out there. But that number is bad. Definitely worse than expected on the unemployment. Again, 4.4% and 700,000 jobs lost. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. But that move was actually more than I thought. I would have thought the market would have shrugged it off completely. So I was wrong again. But
but you weren't wrong about the market moving.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it for your jobs number. Not much more to really say about it here. 8:32. Probably get Dennis back in just a
few
second.
Minutes here.
I'm back.
Yeah, I told you.
We moved a little bit. I mean, we popped, like Joel said, a little bit. But again, these numbers, you know, everybody just knows they're going to be bad. So it's hard to really say, you know, just like the same numbers we got the other day. And, you know, yeah, we sold off eventually on it, but then we re-rallied on it. I mean, if you just take these numbers at face value, you're like, whoa. But, you know, same thing. But the expectations are so bad for everything that it's hard to even get under those expectations. I mean, that's really the bull argument here too, is that all the bad news is priced in, that we've priced in 100,000 deaths. I mean, people are arguing that, and maybe they're right. I don't know. I just tell you, you're in a real battleground between the bulls and the bears here right now, 250 spot.
So if I could bring it back here to the rest of the market, Dennis, the first thing I said to you this morning was that the hope trade is on. And I granted I haven't looked in an hour, but based on the move oil was making, I saw oil, obviously I saw Hertz up earlier. I don't know if it's still up. It seemed like the hope trade was on this morning. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit to do with the press conference last night. You know, the airlines all started ripping after the press conference last night. You actually saw Boeing start to lift. I mean, we've given some of that back here. You know, we're eventually going to get some clarity on what a bailout's going to look like. You know, and that's, you know, going to be good news for the market. But this market is still, you know, it's back to buying the dip to a certain extent. And that's good news. I mean, we're getting bought here right now again. So, you know, here I am, and you know, you think you're, you know, this market, you know, pulls back a little bit, bad numbers, and they bought the dip once again. So you definitely have that mentality. The fade trade's been working all over the place. I mean, selling rips and buying dips has been working for a month. So, you know, the dip buying has been working too, because you've gotten lots of outs. Like, you know, we've went down 1,000, up 1,000, down 1,000, up 1,000. If you've been chasing the moves, you've been getting killed. If you've been fading the moves, you've been making money on both sides. So not just the short side, but the long side as well. Because we have had lots of tradable dips where, you know, we're down 2,000, the next day we're up 1,000. Then we might go down 2,000, you know, even earlier on than this, but then we rally it back up. There's been lots of whipsaw action, lots of trading. So I will just say the fade trade continues to work. What I mean by that is when you get a rally, 1,000 Dow points, you're shorting stocks. When you get a dip of 1,000 Dow points, you're buying stocks as traders, as day traders. That is what has been working, and that continues to work. And we are seeing that here this morning again. You know, we dipped down overnight 40 handles, and we rallied all the way back up to green. We're up 20. Then we dip on this jobs number, and what do? We rip, and we're right back to almost scratch here right now. But there's been a lot of tradable action here overnight, just fading the moves.
Okay, 835. We're going to get Jason, I think, closer to 850 here. And that's fine because there are a few more things I'd like to discuss. I want to start looking at STZ, Constellation Brands, had earnings out this morning, and they beat the estimate on their earnings per share. And I don't know about their sales figure here, but did they give any guidance? I don't believe they gave any guidance. They talked about how they're first of all, Corona, the beer Corona Light, is not being produced at the moment. That was deemed non-essential, and Constellation distributes that in America. But
they're not producing Corona Light, or just Corona Light.
Oh, I'm sorry, Corona, like the beer Corona, like Corona.
So they just stopped producing it because of the name.
No. It's deemed a non-essential business. It's made in Mexico. So it was deemed non-essential. So Corona is not being produced, the beer, but Constellation Brands distributes Corona in the U.S. But the numbers were good here. They beat their earnings on the estimate. And Dennis, look at the action here.
Not much action, to be honest. I mean, we had a little lift in Constellation Brands. We're trading up on 134 right now. We're up $2.50. If you just want to do a technical on it, you're going to run into resistance when you get up near 140. This isn't like a ground zero stock, I don't think, although it's been hit like a ground zero stock. I mean, people are still going to drink, and if we're going to a full depression, they're going to probably drink more. So I probably would be more inclined to actually buy the dip on a stock like this. I haven't looked at the balance sheet to look at, how much debt, and all that. But, you just look at, you've been hit pretty hard on your major alcohol producers here. And maybe some of that is warranted. But we're looking at Constellation Brands goes from $208 down to the lows. It got down to 104. So basically cut in half. We've rallied off those lows. Getting that back down near those lows for whatever reason is probably more interesting. But hard to be a buyer here at 132.5 with so many unknowns.
Yeah, and plus they've got that stake in CGC that is not going well.
And that's so small for them. I mean, we haven't talked to pot stocks for a while. They've tried to, rally a little bit, and now they've sold off. I mean, if you look at the MJ, you just try to trade it technically, you're kind of at a 50% retracement of the just a little bounce that we had. So if you wanted to, you could try along, and you stop out at the lows. I mean, I'm assuming all the other ones look the same. I mean, CGC is interesting too. You have three lows right in the same. Look at this, Joel. CGC, we haven't looked at 1346.
I haven't looked at the
1346 and 1343. I mean, your line in the sand is very well defined. You want defined risk, you got it. So if you're buying it here at 14, you're stopping yourself out below three lows at 1343. So you're saying we're going to turn it around. But what's going to matter, the only thing that's going to matter is the overall, is the stock market here. It's what's driving everything. I mean, a lot of charts look the same. You got the battle between the bulls and the bears here, even in CGC. But you can see the line in the sand for CGC is at 1345 level.
Yeah, I think that the bulls really want to push it over 1459. You got a pair of highs there from the last 2 days. So that's imperative right there. You got to get there. That's where you attract some buyers on strength as opposed to buyers on weakness.
Let's talk 3M here. They were the target of some Trump ire last night. The CEO is going to be on CNBC when we end at 9 o'clock here. He must be a fan of the show, wanted to be considerate. We appreciate that. But Trump tweeted last night that let's find his exact quote. There will be a big price to pay for 3M as they apparently sold some masks to China, and he's imposing the Defense Production Act. So we'll await comments from the CEO on CNBC at 9, but stock was volatile from those comments. As I pulled
down 2.4%. 3M support is very, very well defined on this.
Sure.
I mean, you could start trading stuff technically here. Again, we've been saying, technicals have taken a backseat to the overall headlines, which is still true, but there are some technical setups here, and 130 on 3M is hard support. I mean, look at these lows, 130.61. The next day was 130.91. The next day, 131.06. Then we came back down to retest the last couple of days, 131.01 and 132.10. So call $130. As long as it's above $130, it's still, maybe we retest on this bad news, but I don't think we're going to get that far down. Resistance, well-defined, too. You're between 130 and 140.
Yeah, trading range. Yeah.
Yeah, at 135, you're right in the middle. So 135, I have the SOH trade, which is set on hands. But up at 140, maybe you're trying from the short side. Down 130, maybe you're trying from the long side. You know where you're stopping out. You can put any trade on, anything, anything, as long as you know where your out is. Know where your out is. Have your out well-defined. I know in the case of Luck and Coffee, you know, when they fall and they have a fraud case and they fall 80% overnight, well, it's difficult. You know, whenever you're overnight trading, you have risk of news that can slam a stock or potentially rally a stock. But if you're day trading and you're a day trader, have your out. Know where your out is. Have your out defined before you get in the trade. Absolutely, in this environment, you need to protect your capital at all costs.
Okay.
All right. 8:41 here. Jason, as I mentioned, will be joining us here in about 8 or 9 minutes. Let's take some questions from the chat. Kind of haven't taken too many today, and I want to get to you before we wrap up the week here. Let's look at, if you have any tickers, drop them in. I'm sure we'll get an influx right now. Let's see, who should we look at? You want to look at XOM here? I see XOM was dropped in the chat.
I mean, oil's had a significant rally.
Wow, oil just busted out again, yeah, man. Look out at again. That. Woo, look at that.
It's the catalyst to drive us higher here. I mean, it is what is helping the market right now. Nothing's helped. The numbers are not good. The COVID numbers in New York City are terrible. The only reason we're holding up well here in the markets is oil. This is a good news for the market here, and maybe it can bring us green. I mean, we're trying to go green here again. We are ripping on oil, though, so which is good news for the market. People say, oh, I don't know if oil's down is good news or bad news. I will tell you, in this circumstance, at least in this point in time, the market wants higher oil. They don't want a bunch of oil companies going out of on business, putting pressure on the financials, putting pressure, more pressure on jobs. They want oil prices higher, and they are getting them this morning. So this is what is actually holding the market up here once again. ExxonMobil, if you're looking at this, it's a breakout above $40. So it looks pretty good technically. Again, it's going to follow the oil trade. So all that matters is the price of oil. But if you want to look at these individual oil stocks, they're all showing some life here all of a sudden, which is good news. I mean, this has started a couple days ago, and now the oil stocks are showing some more life. So ExxonMobil, I mean, if you're buying here at 41.90, I wouldn't want to start seeing trade back down through 40. You want to stay above 40. That would be my stop out below 40. But absolutely, there's some room to go. I mean, this thing could go $3-4. You could, you know, with oil moving as much as it is, don't be surprised, you know, to see ExxonMobil can rip a little bit here. So it's all about oil prices, and oil's up substantially here again this morning.
Yeah, and just on a relative basis, yesterday's high, 41.96, that's where you're trading right now. So oil, you know, it's if you're looking for continued follow through, get into the 42 handle, but still yet to clear yesterday's high at 41.96. On the dailies, a lot of air in here, folks. Your next daily high, does it come into 43.48? That would be a super target. Also, that 41.90 area, that was the close on March 11th. Next day, it dropped $4. So there you go. Got a super relevant level there.
Let's look at Chewy here. Chewy had earnings. They had earnings after the close yesterday. And I'll read the numbers for you. The EPS, they lost 15 cents per share. Estimate was a loss of 17 cents. So they beat the estimate there by 2 cents. Sales, $1.35 billion is in line with the estimate there. So pretty much in line report there for Chewy. I'll pull up the chart.
Maybe somewhat disappointing because this has been a COVID play. This is why the stock has been rallying, because you think people aren't going to the traditional pet food stores. I mean, some of them are probably closed because I don't know if it's deemed essential in every state. So you think about that. People are probably ordering their pet food online from Chewy more, yep. You think. So that's what, you know, the market has been thinking anyways, because this has had a substantial rally. So this has been a COVID play. It is, you know, we haven't talked about it as a COVID play, but it definitely has had a COVID run. With that being said, the numbers were not fabulous, but again, you know, we don't know what's going forward here.
Big profits for people, Dennis. Come on, the stock, you know, I think no matter what the numbers would have been, I mean, you had a ridiculous run. Yep, you had a ridiculous run from basically the all-time low up to a new, not quite an all-time high. It hit it off the IPO. So we'll see. I mean, it's getting hit here, but based on the, you know, the pre-market trading chart, you know, there's a buyer here. There's some consolidation going on at 35. Looking at the dailies, not much there. You kind of have a little bit of a trap door if you can't hold 35. Your next daily low, 32.55. I don't see it. I'll use this close at 33.81, but quiet consolidation here for the next move here in Chewy.
Let's look at Zoom. I saw that OPEC is doing a virtual meeting on Monday. Yeah. And my first thought was, I wonder if they're going to use Zoom. Doubtful. But
the product's fabulous. It got hit yesterday because they're worried about, you know, privacy
yep.
issues. You've got who's the person that's kind of they were on CNBC the night before, and she started talking, and they started slamming Zoom, and they didn't stop slamming it for basically the entire day. I mean, it did bounce off those lows, but people are nervous, you know, on, you know, whenever you get, you know, the government stepping in and taking a look at issues. We don't know if they're going to uncover anything. Maybe it's okay, but they're just worried, you know, a lot of these conversations are probably being recorded. How are they protecting that information so that your private conversation, the conversation that me, Joel, and Spencer are having right now, is likely being recorded, you know, potentially by, you know, we don't know, you know,
what we record it.
We record it, obviously, so it is being recorded. But I mean, you're having individual conversations that are happening on Zoom that's still a public thing. How are they protecting people from getting in there and listening to those conversations? That's what. Do you remember the lady's name? I was looking into.
No, it was a couple of days ago. Now, some of it has to do with Facebook because they log in. They had the login through Facebook that could create some vulnerabilities, and a lot of it just has to do with passwords.
Yeah, the New York Attorney General. I'm trying to find her name. I can't. I'm trying just to bring it up here.
Was it Loretta?
Yeah, that's who it is.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure our chat will be faster than we are.
There was an update.
I don't know how you say her name. Letitia. Oh yeah, Letitia James. I believe it
Letitia
is.
James.
I believe
it's okay.
No, New York Attorney General Letitia James. She came on CNBC. So this was when it started. I mean, we heard about it, but when she came on CNBC and started talking, Zoom was trading flat at that time. It dropped $5. As she was started talking two nights ago. And then it just kept, they kept hitting it the whole time because they're like, she says they don't know what they're going to uncover, but they want to go in there and make sure that everything's okay. So there's nothing, you know, she's not saying that there's problems here. They're just verifying that, you know, they're protecting this information. If they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's, they'll be fine. If they haven't, then they might have some issues.
I saw a stat that Zoom went from 10 million to 200 million active users in March.
Well, that's incredible if that's true.
I mean, it's just that everyone's got to use it or something like it, right? So, Joel, you want to look at the chart here? Is there anything to look
at? Yeah, the Zoom. When did you have this spike? Let me make sure I got the right information here. It's trading up 367 at 125.60. I mean, I don't know. Did someone bust an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting or something and start – doing so, I don't know. I mean, is this overdone? I mean, we got to 115. That was yesterday. I don't know. It's rebounding. I'd be more inclined to buy the dip on this.
The line in the sand would be that 115. Yeah. I think, Joel. I think I'm kind of with you on that. That line in the sand for me, 114.5 was the low yesterday. So if I'm buying the dip, and there's a rip here this morning, so I'm absolutely not buying that. But if we get a pullback here, I'd be interested, you know, potentially, but I would stop up below that point. Below that, you have some room. Then, you know, you have room down to $100. I think at 100, you'll find major support. But that's
I said that yesterday. Yep.
I love the 100 level, but I don't think you get a shot down there. I don't think it gets that low, not with the current environment. Unless, you know, the Attorney General starts really pressing, then that's a different story. And that's the wild card. I mean, overnight, something can happen. They're like, oh, they don't like this. You know, they got the potential that they could get some fines. So,
I just look at this too. I mean, if you've been pressing a short since March 19th, you got some pretty good news. Well, bad news, but just good news for you to cover. That's the way I look at it. And then people that were wanting to get long the issue, there was an opportunity. So, and then you can always figure what was the old time high there if you're playing this for a bounce. 50-point move right on the nose, add 25 to that. So 140 if you're looking for a 50% retracement. Yesterday's close, 137. I don't think you'll see that today.
That cloud hanging over from the Attorney General could keep the stock down for a bit because people are nervous about that. And some people are caught long this thing right now too. So I don't think it's bouncing right back.
Yep, maybe.
I don't think you have to chase Zoom here, my opinion.
All right, 8:50, let's bring on today's guest, Jason Raznick. He's the founder of Benzinga. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. I want to get your thoughts on Tesla here. They had their Q1 sales yesterday, and then I want to go to a special segment I have prepared. But first, thoughts on Tesla, Jason, this morning.
Yes, thoughts on Tesla, but I also need to comment on oil. You guys talked about it earlier.
Okay.
And I think you guys are all overthinking the market. There's something missing here, but we'll go to that in a second. Tesla, great numbers, phenomenal numbers. I mentioned it in the last Friday that this is a stock you buy on dips and sell on big rips. My next sell point, I won't sell another share until we cross 650 again or in the 600s, but the numbers are going to always exceed whatever the analysts expect. When we're producing cars again, the Model 3, I say to everyone at our office, there's no other car to buy right now. And then I know Spencer Israel will say, anxiety range and all this stuff. Until you have it.
What did I say? I don't even know what I said.
I know. You forget now. Spencer Israel is the guy that thinks Tesla's going to go to bankrupt and be a jerk.
I never said that.
We had that meeting after that day that I said there'll be a Model 3 in every single parking lot you go to. Wait, that meeting, you said it's going to go bankrupt.
No, you got to Spencer. Jason remembers everything you say.
I did not say that.
He remembers everything everyone says, and then he pulls it out and he drives it home.
He has a photographic memory.
So I do remember conversations. I don't remember freaking names and faces, but I'll remember conversations. No other. I remember the day Spencer Israel met his girlfriend, and he's like, "Oh my god."
All right. Goes on, it gets all personal in a hurry.
That's enough of that. That's enough.
We
of
try
that,
to hide our personal lives, but Jason will go there.
I am loving Spencer Israel's wall behind him. I love it.
Did we get a new sign today, Spencer?
Yeah. We talked about this already.
All right.
How'd I miss it?
Trade by day, pray by night.
Oh yeah. Right. Okay. That's good. I trade by night, pray by day.
Can we talk about oil for 1 second?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead there.
I heard you guys talking about it earlier and, you know, the president, et cetera. So I listen to those press conferences. What I do is I don't listen to them live. I listen to them on YouTube. I listen to them about an hour after. I hit the thing on YouTube where you can make them go faster because they're an hour to 2 hours. Who has time these days to sit and listen? So I listen to them at 2x speed. I even teach my kids now how to listen at 2x speed. I'm like, it's way more efficient. Well, Tuesday or Monday, President Donald Trump talked about oil getting Russia and Saudi Arabia together. To me, that was the biggest no-brainer trade ever, 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 ever. So Wednesday morning, I went long USO, I went long ExxonMobil, I went long Chevron. I went so long oil that it made Tesla look like my smallest position. And then yesterday, it was up 27%. Everyone's like, oh my God, oil's up 27%. And I'm like, what the heck? I bought it all on Wednesday because Trump choreographed it. And I get the naysayer, like in a Spencer would say, well, Trump's just saying that, but you're the protagonist in this story, Spencer. That's why I use
antagonist. You're the protagonist. I'm the antagonist.
Thank you. I'm not good at those analogies. Warren Buffett could kill me on those. So right. You're the antagonist. So I went and bought oil like crazy, and I sold one of them. I still have two more because even if they come out and say, well, Trump, at least he's making progress. And here's my opinion. Trump gets on the phone with, you know, the prince, or gets on the phone with Russia and says, listen, people are dying. We don't have to do about this corona thing. We need some help here in this oil thing. It's killing our industries. What are they going to say? No, Donald, I'm not going to help you. I mean, Russia just sent over a freaking plane of millions of dollars in supplies. Of course they're going to try to help them on oil. They are. It's just, you know how you do things here. They are. You guys can
trade logic.
But what?
Trade logic. This is a logic trade. You were using logic, and you're making some money by trading logic. I talk about it all the time.
That's it. And I just
trade the logic.
Exactly. And I just think that we tend to, including myself, we tend to overthink shit. And so I said, "F it." Sorry,
I said, Jason,
come on,
Jason. No, Jason.
I'm just gonna go.
Jason, don't swear anymore.
I said, "F it."
Joel's getting angry about
Jason. Don't swear anymore.
Why?
All right.
Because it offends some people. You can use, there's more words in the vocabulary you can use.
In the chat room, are you offended by my swearing? Please survey.
Okay.
Say one if you're offended, two if you're not.
Wait.
One if you're offended, two if you're not. Because I
go, we'll do a Twitter
I have a, wait, can I go to my thing? Because I have a special thing planned, and I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm doing that. I just had to get that out because I just want people to make money in our room. That's it.
Okay, you ready?
Wait. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yes. We are. I don't know if you guys can hear this. I hope you can. I think you can.
I'm just reviewing the chat room to see if they're upset by swearing.
Joel right, and I just kind of tried to.
I have prepared a hot
potato. We got a three segment in there. I don't know what the three means.
Okay. I have prepared a hot
potato. The chat is going absolutely crazy.
Joel, look at the chat room right now. There are
there's a lot of ones.
Ones? I haven't seen any ones.
Call me.
Joel, look, there's one. One just went by. Dennis Dick just put a one in there.
Are you guys in the YouTube chat room right now?
Yes.
Call me after the show, please.
Hey, chat room, I'm not available. I'm out of town. I will not be available. Joel, I'll talk to you, but I'll talk to you on next Friday, okay?
Okay.
I love the PMP chatters. Let's do this today. Let's make some money in the market.
We got hot potatoes. It's going to be fun.
I've prepared a trivia segment, okay? Friday, some Friday trivia. The category is Jason, Joel, and Dennis. That's the category. I'm asking you questions about each other. Okay, so I've come up with some questions here about all three of you. So my first question here, this is for Dennis. Okay.
Oh, I have to start. Oh.
Yeah, this is
for
you.
I hate starting.
Okay, this one's multiple choice. They're not all multiple choice, but this one.
Oh, I like multiple choice. I won't go on.
When is Joel's birthday? Is it April 5th, June 5th?
This is
October 5th.
This is mean. Like, I'm going to make an enemy here.
Or November 5th. Is it April 5th, June 5th, October 5th, or November 5th?
You know this, Dennis.
Yeah, but you forget. Like, I know when it's coming because you know why? Because I get a calendar pop-up 2 days before. I'm not getting a calendar pop-up on this. Joel's not going to forgive me for this. This is such a mean question. Does Jason know it? Can Jason steal this?
I'm not asking Jason. I'm asking you.
Jason knows it.
Jason's looking it up right now. He's cheating over there on his calendar lookup. I'm going to do the same thing.
All right. Okay. October 5th was the answer.
Yeah, that was so mean.
Okay. All right.
Fine. I knew it was the end of the year, but I didn't know November or October.
All right, Jason.
Joel.
Jason, you ready?
Hey, they want to know if they get a subscription if they guessed right. Neil B. wants a Benzinga Pro subscription. And he wants to know if he gets a discount if he guessed right.
Yes. We'll make it happen. Email premarket@benzinga.com. All right, Jason, you ready? What year did Joel found the Detroit office of Bright Trading?
What year?
Yeah.
Do I get choices and multiple choice?
No.
Multiple choice.
Okay, I'll give you multiple choice. 1997, 1999, 2001, 2004.
2001.
I can no.
2004. 2004.
1999.
Oh, wow.
1999. All right. This one's for Joel. All right.
I get a point for that one.
Sure. I'm keeping track. Joel, from what university did Dennis graduate from?
Oh, that's so easy.
Did I graduate
what
university?
University of Windsor.
Wow!
No, look at the easy one he gets. I live in Windsor.
I didn't think that was that easy. All right, fine. Moving back on to Dennis here.
Jason looks confused.
Okay, Dennis. What year did Jason move the Benzinga office from Southfield, Michigan, to downtown Detroit? Bonus point if you get the month.
Wow!
I'm not gonna get the month. I'm gonna get the year. It feels like it was about 4 years ago. I'm saying 2017.
Well, that's three years ago.
No, well, yeah. It was 2021, 2019, 18, right. 17.
The answer is 2015, October.
It was that long ago?
Yeah.
It was that long
Only ago. The years fly by. Where do the years go?
That's when I went to Israel, too. They moved. I remember.
2015.
They moved the office. Okay.
These years just fly by.
All right, Jason.
These are tough questions.
All right, Jason, this one's easy, okay?
Wait, Joel, are you mad at Dennis right now?
No,
he's back on his birthday.
All right, Jason.
In the chat room, everyone's saying you look really upset.
No, I'm laughing my ass. Oh, now I'm starting to talk.
All right, look,
Jason.
It's rubbing off. We're gonna start cussing and swearing here all the time.
Jason,
like Howard Stern.
Guys, in the chat room, do you guys just hear Joel swear? If you heard Joel swear, type one. If you did not hear him swear, type two.
Jason, what is Dennis's favorite hockey team?
Oh, my God. That's so easy.
Then
the Detroit Red Wings.
The chat's going to know this
one. No, that is unfortunately incorrect.
The Montreal Canadiens.
I like all the Detroit teams except the Red Wings.
It is the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah. Edmonton
Connor
Oilers.
David, yeah.
All right, Ming Joel.
Hey, hold on. It's the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah. It's okay. Been there since I can't even remember how I started cheering. I just assume it was Wayne Gretzky. I was like 3 years old and I had an Edmonton Oilers t-shirt on.
All right.
Always the Oilers.
Joel, you better see the chat room, but you should apologize.
Look at the ones.
Joel, this is multiple choice. All right, you
okay.
ready?
Yep, I'm going to get this.
How did Dennis get started trading? Is it A, with his parents' money, B, with his bar mitzvah money, C, with an inheritance from his grandparents who are maple syrup moguls, or D, or D, with money he earned from his dad's roofing business?
Well, he's not Jewish, so I know he didn't have a bar mitzvah.
No bar mitzvah.
I think.
I don't know much about maple syrup either, so we can roll that one out.
I think it was his parents' money.
It kind of was both, a little bit of the roofing, and because that's where I had some money, and a little bit of boring from.
All right, well, I'll give it to him anyway. Joel has got two right so far. Joel's running away with this thing. All right, Dennis, this is your last question. What kind of?
Am I frozen?
No, you're here.
Jason's lost. You're in the clouds, Jason. You're in the clouds now.
Dennis,
hold on.
He's walking around. He's got a Gretzky jersey.
Before you do the last question, Dennis.
Look at this. I love Jason Rasnick.
What? Look who signed that.
You got the real Gretzky signature too.
Can I tell you my Wayne Gretzky story?
Yes, 100%.
Sure.
The crowd is gonna be interested in this. This is a true story. I was 9 years old, maybe 8 years old, and we won a Wayne Gretzky jersey from Edmonton. We won it at an auction. Like it was a lottery. You pay like $100, and we got called. So we go to the game. Edmonton comes to Detroit, the Red Wings. We go to the game to have him sign the jersey. Well, when he's there, I say, can I have one of your sticks after the game? And his dad comes with him to the games. He came off the team bus. His dad got in front of Wayne and said, no, Wayne, he doesn't have enough sticks to give out. Wayne stopped him and said, no, just meet me after the game and I'll give you a stick. So, of course, you know, my dad takes me into the tunnel where they meet after the game to give the sticks out. And Wayne goes, I'm so sorry. Someone stole my stick. The crowd, you know, someone grabbed it from the crowd. Come back. Can you guys hear me still?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Zoom's working good.
Okay. He goes, come back in March. And, you know, it didn't say March. He said, come back when we come here next time. Well, that was in November. It was like, and so it was 4 months later that he said, come back and he'll have a stick for me because someone took it out of the crowd. So I literally, you know, I'm not going to forget Wayne freaking Gretzky. See, Joel, I didn't swear. Wayne freaking Gretzky says, come back. And so I come back 4 months later. My dad takes me. We get to the game. It's a 7:30 game. We get there at 6. Wayne Gretzky comes in with a stick with his name signed on it and hands it to me 4.5 months later.
Wow. Where is that stick?
In that same room.
I showed you.
I just saw the jersey. Yeah. I didn't see the stick.
All right, I'll be right.
Show me the stick.
Too late.
This is a fun tangent for me. I love Edmonton Oilers story.
Well, you asked him the question, I'll have the stick in 2 seconds.
All right. Okay, Dennis, this question is about Jason, all right? What kind of car does Jason drive?
Oh, shut Tesla. Up, dude.
Can you be more specific?
Model 3.
All right. Yeah.
I'm all over that one. I was all over it, Jason.
All right. Joel, this one's for you.
Sure.
In addition to being the founder of Benzinga, Jason is also the board member of an organization that is devoted to promoting fintech in Detroit. What is the name of that organization that promotes fintech in Detroit?
That's an awesome stick. I'm just looking at the stick. That's awesome. Titan. There it is. The Titan.
Detroit FinTech?
That is – yes. Wow, Joel's 3
Joel
for 3
pulls
today.
It out.
Detroit FinTech.
That stick is awesome. I'm so jealous of all Jason Rasnick's memorabilia here right now.
Jason, this is the last question of the day. You ready? Can you hear us?
No, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Why does it offend some people? You can use the words in the vocabulary you can use.
Joel, then why do you keep swearing?
Okay.
Wait, what's going on here?
Wait, Dennis, Jason, can you mute your volume or something, I think? Or I think we're on your computer. I think mute that. Okay. Jason, this is the last question. You ready? We know Joel went to the University of Michigan. Okay. What was Joel's major? I'll give you multiple choice.
I know it.
Girls?
You don't have to give multiple choice.
I'll give you multiple choice. Was it A, finance, B, economics, C, political science, or D, sociology?
Give me one more time.
He's Googling
finance, economics, political science, sociology.
Sociology.
That is incorrect.
Always go with C, political science. I know everything about Joel except the month of his birthday.
It was political science. All right. That is it for my hot potato segment.
That was great, Spencer.
I love the hot potato segment. I am just mad that I did not know the hockey team that Dennis Dick likes.
I can't believe all that Gretzky stuff. That stuff is awesome.
I actually think I knew that you liked. Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
Because we went to a game a couple months ago with Spencer.
But don't you guys love that story that Wayne Gretzky, 4 months later, remembered that stick? You know, my brother Brian tried to claim that the stick was his, that he got it. I'm like, Brian, okay, tell me your genesis of your story. You know, like, you know that movie where they're like, tell me what's the movie, the show? Like, it was the genesis for your idea of, that movie's so good. When Melanie Griffith or whatever her name is, like, she works up in tries to get in Wall Street, and she tries to get that job, and then they cut her out. The Secret of My Success, that was Michael J. Fox, but it was one of those, and like, it tells you the genesis of your idea. And I'm like, Brian, so how'd you get the stick? And he couldn't like tell the story. I'm like, okay, well, here's my story. And then they knew it was my stick, you know? He tried to claim it was his stick, so when we took it out.
How old were you when that happened?
Probably 10, I guess.
Wow, that's a great story. That really is. All right, well, that was quite a fun segment there with Mr. Raznick.
Closing thoughts, Raznick. We got this market that's been shopping around. Obviously, you know, we know you played the oil. How are you approaching the overall market here now, though? I mean, we are in a battle between the bulls and the bears. You got the bears that are saying, you know, the numbers and the logic is, you know, that this is going to get a lot uglier in April. But then you got the bulls saying that a lot of the bad news is already priced in and oil's going to help this market. What are your thoughts?
Good question. By the way, guys, I don't have a crystal ball on the oil. Like, it could trade a little lower. I am taking a leap of faith thinking that there's going to be something to be worked out. And so, but I told you, I sold one, I kept two others. I bought the US. So I'm no expert in oil at all. I've been selling on strength and buying on weakness. So I kept my Peloton. I went longer New York Times. My TAST, I took some off at 204. I bought some 2 days ago, 170 or 168. I'm still a big believer in Slack. It's been nice trading. So do I believe, Dennis, that it's going to be this straight up thing? No, I think there's going to be some, there's going to be some photos that people aren't going to like seeing. And I think that's going to have a effect on the market. And so I don't have a crystal ball, but I just get like these feelings when you see two or three strong days. I like to take a little bit off. I'm about 30% cash. I did buy some heavy dividend stocks just because I'm tired of like, you know, where are you going to get any yield these days? So I bought some heavy dividend stocks. I'm buying Wendy's when it goes below 12 and I'm selling it when it hits to 14, 15. Zoom, it gets to 110. I'm buying again. Spencer Isley, your stat earlier about 100 million or it was basically in December. They had like 10 million and now they have 100 million. It's crazy numbers. Dennis, I'm shocked at the sell-off in Zoom. I'm just literally shocked.
I think the sell-off's a gift. I'm kind of on the same side with you. I'd be a buyer of a significant pullback. It's the attorney general that's kind of giving it scrutiny right now. That is obviously the reason for the sell-off yesterday. If they come out in that case, you know, gets closed without any significant fines, the stock could rip on that. So, but that could take a while.
Okay. And then the other one that I, you know, Smile Direct, I told you guys last week that I'll get to you, Scott. I see the questions in the room. Smile Direct, I told you, I know the team behind it. I'm lost in it a little bit. It's not moving the way I would like it. So I still have some, but I just don't know what the immediate move is, down or up. I'm lost in that one. So sorry. On TASS, yes, Don, Michael, Scott, I still own TASS. I sold 30% of the position when it hit 210. Task, guys, is what I call an option. It's literally a call option. It's an option as it's going to either be $10 in 6 months or it will be nothing, you know, like that. And so it's a risk versus reward. On every trade I make, I'm not as good as Dennis on these short-term trades, but every like investment I make, I look at the risk probability. I say, you know, I take a literally a percentage. It's most likely to go this. Task owns a lot of Burger Kings, a lot of drive-thrus. It has a lot of things, the fundamentals in place. But on the other side of it is it needs to have a better financial footing. I think some of this bailout money is going to help their businesses. So I'm staying long Task. I'm actually hoping right now we're seeing Task trade around 178. I'm hoping it gets back to 155 because then I'm loading up the trucks again. So I've been when it gets to 210, above two, I sell half the position. When it goes black below, I buy it. That's just what I do. And so it can be scary because you see some red on your screen. But I think that's okay because I find like that oil trade I made, Dennis, I find that people just follow and they see trends and they start buying. Tesla, no one talked about Tesla when we were talking about it on the show 3 years ago. You know, no one. And if this is my last appearance on the pre-market prep because of my language, then I love you all. And because I am who I am and I can't
you're the boss. You can come on whenever you want. No, he's the boss. He pays the bills.
I can't change. I can't change. So if you guys do have ever questions for me, you can go at Jason Raznick on Twitter, RazNickJason, or Jason at Benzinga, or even better, find me in the Benzinga Pro chat room and I will answer every single question until I fall asleep. So I'm always in the Benzinga Pro chat room.
All right.
And I'm always a fan of Spencer. Thank you for the question and answer. But the bottom line here is I don't care what it takes, what words I have to say. I want us all who are listening to this show to make money in the market. And whatever way I have to express it, I'm going to do because I think money is too important. It helps you feel comfortable. It gives you a stress-free life if you can just make some money. And so whatever I have to say to get people to understand, you got to pay attention to the little inches around us. There's little inches. You listen to what Trump says. Yes, some of it can be wrong, but those little inches can move the market. And I think it's so important. So if you don't have the time, go on YouTube, listen to the press conference, listen at 1.5 times speed because two is tough.
I love that. That's the best tip that you gave on the show. That's one of the best tips I've ever heard. Yeah, listen to stuff twice as fast. It's like an Elon Musk thing. It's like an Elon Musk tip right there.
I'm telling you, Dennis, it made me money on the oils. I didn't make millions, but I made some good money on oils all because of the 2x speed on YouTube. I went and got into it. They bloviated in that press conference. And then if you listen to it on normal, you'll be like, these people talk so slowly. The next way that I'm going to elect a president is who talks the fastest. Because then you don't have to do that.
Do you listen to the pre-market prep show on twice speed? Because I talk really fast already. I'm kind of always on 2x speed. That's how I talk.
You guys are all fast. I'm telling you, if you listen to a press conference, you guys, they're so slow, and I can't take it. And to be honest, if YouTube did not have that speed up thing, I would pay an extra $50 a month for the speed up thing. And by the way, one thing, Joel, that speed up thing I think was there 6 months ago. I found out about it like 3 weeks ago. It's been the greatest thing since sliced bread for me.
All right, Jason, very much. Thanks for coming on. I'll talk to you a little bit.
Thanks
okay,
a lot,
bye.
Jason.
Bye.
Right. All right. I want to thank Jason for joining us today. You can always catch a replay of this show on YouTube or catch the podcast on version. In the description of this video on YouTube is a link to Benzinga Pro. It'll get you not just a free trial, but a subsequent discount should you choose to subscribe. Again, the link is in the description of this video to Benzinga Pro. Thanks to all of you in our chats, both on YouTube and premarket.benzinga.com. Please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Joel and I will be back with you at 3:40 until the close. In the meantime, everyone have a great rest of your day and be safe out there. Have a good one.